Hello friends, welcome to this subject called Organization Behavior, a very interesting subject, and I'll be covering the first chapter in this module, which is titled as Introduction to Organization Behavior. My name is Professor Venkat Iyer. By qualification, I'm a mechanical engineer. I've spent about 17 years in industry working for Tatas and MNCs and various other companies. And I have a rich background of production, marketing, concept selling, etc. For the last about more than 15 years plus, I've been a behavioral trainer. I have my own company and I'm also a visiting faculty in B schools. I spend most of my time at V school, Velinkar at Matunga. This subject, organization behavior, requires a little bit of introduction. Some of you must already be knowing about the subject, and some of you must be exposed to it for the first time. And you must be wondering, what is it all about behavior? So let's try and understand why this subject is being introduced and why it is a part of any management learning anywhere in any B school in the world. It's a very important subject, and it's not about only knowledge, it's about understanding how you and I are. So what we do is we'll go through the entire process of understanding what's organization behavior, or OB as we call it, and try and see how important it is for any organization to function. I'm of the firm belief, as a consultant, as a behavioral trainer, that if you address organization behavior process, everything else falls in place. You may have the best of strategies, you may have the best of finances, you may have the best of factories, but at the end of the day, if the manpower, the people with whom we are talking about in OB, if they are not properly aligned with each other, we have a major issue. I have umpteen case studies about people, about organizations, where the OB aspect has not been properly addressed. Very good organizations, and they've gone for a toss. So my invitation to all of you is to look at this subject as a skill, a type of a behavior which you need to imbibe into yourself, looking at yourself around you. This is not rocket science, it's very easy to understand. But what we are doing in this subject is we are introducing you to a systematic process of learning it. That's exactly what we're doing here. A systematic approach towards understanding what's behavior. Behavior, by my definition, is a socially driven, purposeful action. Behavior is a socially driven, purposeful action. Behavior is something with which we all are living. My behavior, your behavior, the behavior of people around you, in your office, at the social front, we are living with behaviors. And in most cases, people come and tell me, so what about behavior? What is it to learn about behavior in the classroom? So the question is, everybody, do you think they can learn behavior by living in life? Answer is yes and no. We learn behaviors, we learn how to behave with people as we go along in life. Is it not true? But there's a major difference. Some of us, or practically most of us to begin with, do not understand the science, underline the word science, the science of human behavior. And this science is a complex science. It's not that easy. It's not a pure science like physics or mathematics. It's a social science. It's an applied science. And it's got a number of contributory factors that make up what behavior is. Since it is complex, the need to learn it in a systematic manner is imperative for anybody who's working with people. Now, let's not be under the impression that organization behavior is all about an organization, as in a corporate entity, as in a company, like L&T or Infosys or some such corporate entity. No. Organization behavior is applicable, to my mind, to any group of people who are working together, even the home where you live. So understanding the rudiments, the principles of organization behavior is what we'll be going through throughout the sessions starting from chapter number 1, which I'm addressing right now. So I invite all of you to look at this whole process as a self-transformative process, which means you have to look within yourself, which are the things that are working in your life based on your interactions with people, and which are the things that are not working in your life. I'm sure all of you will agree that there are certain things in your life, even with the best of intentions, it's not working with certain people. At the workplace, at home, on the social front, etc. And you keep wondering, what is it that I've done that's not happening? If you are a person who's introspecting within yourself. Or in most cases, you will blame the world. I'm a good guy. I've got the best of intention, but it's his problem. He's got an attitude, as we say very loosely. Now, these are common scenarios which we come across. Suffice it to say, friends, OBE is going to open the windows for all of you to understand why you do what you do. Because when you do something, you get certain results. If the results are not satisfactory in line with your requirements of life, the goals that you've set in your life, then it's a major challenge for you. I'm sure you'll agree on this. So we need to understand how my interaction with people, my behavior with people is impacting me and others. So we go through a very systematic learning. There is a syllabus. There are some PowerPoints which I'll be projecting on the screen for every chapter that I'll be taking. And let me tell you that it's not the PowerPoints alone. There is something more that I'll be talking. That's why we are having the video lectures. The syllabus is there. The textbook is there. Everyone will read. In my experience in V School for last so many years, I can tell you one thing. The video lectures are very rich in content and form. So my invitation to all of you is to listen to the lectures intently, sitting quietly and absorbing and writing down notes. It's not a substitute for the textbook. At the same time, it's going along with the flow of the textbook. Let me repeat. It's not a substitute for the textbook. At the same time, it goes in line with the textbook. There are students who come and tell me, "Sir, I saw the video. And that's enough." No. "I read only the book. That's enough." No. Both, judicious combination of both are important. My suggestion to you as a person who's teaching the subject as well, please watch the videos, then come to the classroom and listen to the live lectures when we have the personal contact program. Go through the books in between and see how they connect. Because it's not like a pure science where you take 1 plus 1 and make it 2. There are so many inputs that come at different points of time. And I invite you to be open and absorbing. Ask more questions to us. Take whatever we say not for granted, but challenge us. And in and through that you learn how to be good at behavior. Because what's very important today is, in today's world, is we are living in a very complex world and behaviors matter. Behaviors matter a lot. Rather, I would go to the extent of saying behaviors only matter. I'm sure many of you would agree with me. And those of you who don't agree, we'll meet in the class and we'll discuss it. With this, I would like to start the very first chapter called Introduction to Organization Behavior. Now, the flow of this module is as follows, as you see on the screen. It's divided into these parts. First, we talk about business success. Next, we talk about management, study of human behavior, models of man, group similarities and dissimilarities, how do organizations behave, historical development of OBE, the history of OBE, features and disciplines of organization behavior, nature and complexities of organization behavior, and the significance of organization behavior. Roughly around 60 plus slides are there, and we'll be going through that. And I'll take the very first one, which is to do with business success. The slide is on your screen and you can see there are three circles which are overlapping with each other. One circle is titled as management. The second is human resources behavior. And the third one is titled as organization structure. What are these three things? If I want a business to succeed, if I want an organization to succeed, to achieve the goals which it has already set, then I need to have these three in a very judicious combination. Let's take management. What is it? Management is the optimum utilization of available resources. Management is the optimum utilization of available resources. I am splitting the definition. Management is the optimum utilization of available resources. For what? To attain certain pre-set goals or objectives. Management is the optimum utilization of available resources. You can put R capital, resources. To attain certain pre-set goals or objectives. So unless your goals are preset, unless your objectives are very clear, there is no management. What are we doing in management? We are simply putting some resources together, inputs. And those have to be put in a certain combination, optimum utilization, not maximum. What is required, I use that. If I have to make one cup of tea, I need only that much amount of tea leaves and water and milk. I don't put the entire box of tea leaves into the kettle. Certainly not. So, optimum utilization of available resources to attain certain preset goals or objectives. That is what is management. So, in short, management is a type of a series of steps or processes which we need to follow. In management, there are two aspects. There's a tangible aspect. Tangible is something which I can see, taste, feel, touch, etc. by the five sensory organs. And there is a intangible, something which is invisible. The tangible part are the four M's, as we call it in management: men, machine, materials and money. Men, machines, materials and money are the four tangible M's, tangible aspect of management. There's a fifth M, which is intangible part of management, which is called as methods. The fifth M, invisible. Right now the video session is going on. I've got all the four M's in this room where the recording is going on. Men, myself and the gentleman behind the camera who's shooting me. Machines, the cam, the laptop which is in front of me, this pointer, etc. Materials, whatever is required in terms of notes, in terms of jottings, materials. Money, the money has brought all these things together, the investment. Methods, the steps through which we do the recording. The gentleman behind the cam had to come before time. I had to prepare myself, get in touch with them, communicate with these gentlemen, come here on time and get the whole process done in a systematic way. Putting the slides in a certain manner, this is again methods. Now if these four M's and the fifth M come together, then we have what is called as management. For what purpose have they to come together? They have to come together for the purpose of attaining the goal. So what's our goal? Our goal is very clear. Create this course content, this video content for the purpose of students. And the students are far flung. They are in different parts of the country and the world who are listening to this. So we have to keep that into account. Understand what they will be going through, what they'll be comprehending when they listen to this lecture. So all those careful thought has to be done in the initial stages. And we have to arrive at a goal. And this goal will tell us that to attain this goal, what are the different things we need to have? That's management. So we have to map the resources, set the goal and make it as clear as possible by putting in as many inputs. And then we have to unleash the methods. That's management. So for any business to succeed, this is an important aspect. Next comes organization structure, given in your screen. Now, what is a structure? It's a systematic array. A systematic approach is a structure. This video shooting can be done just about anytime, anywhere, anywhere. Does it work that way for an organization? No. Am I doing something like a karaoke session, or am I doing something for the sake of pleasure? No, I'm into business. So I need to have a disciplined approach. That disciplined approach is coming in the form of an organization structure. We have an organization, a brick and mortar building like this, in which there are departments, there are people sitting in certain places, senior people at one place, the middle management in another place, the junior people in other place, the support staff. So all this is a part of a structure. And with every structure, there are roles to be played by each one of us to attain the goals. So that structure is the second part of it. I need to manage using the resources to attain the goals, but for that I need a structure. Now, in this structure comes another important input. Among the four M's, men, machine, materials and money, one of the M is the most crucial M, which is the third circle, human resources behavior. Human resources behavior. We come across human resources management, one of the subjects which you're learning. And in human resources management, one of the things that is important to be addressed is human resources behavior. Now, why is the third circle more important? The third circle is making or breaking the success of the organization. The third circle is making or breaking the success of the organization. I may have the best of management. I may have the best of an organization structure. But if the human resources behavior has not been addressed properly, we have a major issue. And let me tell you, as a consultant for many companies, as a behavioral trainer, as a leadership trainer for many companies, I've noticed that very good organizations, good brand names, are actually going through this biggest challenge of not being able to understand why people join, why they leave, why they don't give outputs. Why is it that a certain team is not having its efficiency? Many issues are coming up, and these issues, to my mind and my experience, I can tell you friends, is addressed to one single quality of all human beings: behavior. And hence, human resources behavior is the fundamental building block of any organization. I firmly believe that if the behavior part of it is addressed, if it's properly handled, you can build an empire, and the empire can sustain for a long period of time if the behavior is continuously addressed. It's not a one-time shot. Addressing behavior is not one time. It is a dynamic process. So, the determinants of business success put on your screen has got three components: management, which has to fit into a structure so that there's a discipline. And last but not the least, we need to have people, human resources, whose behavior has to be properly managed. Underline the word managed and not controlled. We talk about control whenever we talk about business, but here we are talking about human beings have to be managed and not controlled. There's a reason. When you control a human behavior, there will always be negative backlash. But when you manage a human behavior, the best in the persons will come out. Please follow this wherever you are, in whichever scenario you are planted, be it home, be it a social front, be it a corporate. Please follow this small principle of managing human behavior, not controlling them. So we move to the next slide, which is talking about the functions of managers. You'll be learning this as a separate subject in a subject called Principles of Management, but here we are giving a small snapshot as a relevant part of the discussion for organization behavior. So what does management comprise? It comprises of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 processes put on your screen: planning, organizing, staffing, directing, and controlling. There's a Sixth one which we talk about, which is coordinating, which has been clubbed with directing apparently here. But suffice it to say, right now we are talking about the five functions which are put on your screen. So what is it planning? What's planning? It's creating a timetable of resources and activities to achieve organization goals and objectives. It includes short-term, medium-term and long-term plans. Everybody talks about planning. Now here we are talking about systematic way of planning. Scientific management, which you'll be learning in the other subject called principles of management. Scientifically going along, setting a goal. Scientifically going along and planning. There's a timeline. And in the timeline, I stand here today at this point of time when the recording is going on. Tomorrow, day after tomorrow, next week, next fortnight, next month, next quarter, next year. This is my future of the timeline from where I stand. So I have to plan for the activities and also for the resources. Two words I've used in the slide. Resources are all the inputs. Activities are all the various actions to be taken. Resources can be the four M's: men, machine, materials and money. And the activities is the fifth M called methods, if you put it from a broader context. So this is what is planning. And it includes long term, medium term and short term. Long term could be 1 year, medium term could be 6 months, and short term maybe as short as 3 months or maybe 1 month. I'm not dwelling upon this, but because that's a separate subject being dealt in as a part of your curriculum. Second function of management is organizing. Involves grouping of jobs into framework, into a certain structure for the coordination and direction before execution. We plan to do something. You want to go for a picnic. You're planning to go for a picnic, so you know exactly where you're going. It's a 2-day outing, let's say, overnight. So you plan. Now, after planning, how many of us really sit down and organize? It's about putting all the resources together in the required quantity that is required for the 2 days picnic. Are we doing it? There are many of us who would just put things into the thing and run away. We do it on a day-to-day basis, even to go to the office. Organizing, to me, is one of the most important functions of management, because people plan, but they don't. After planning and before execution, there comes an interim process called organizing. That process is what we're talking about. Am I organizing my resources? I can prepare the PowerPoint. I can directly come and talk to you. But I'll have a problem if I do that. I need to organize my thoughts. Organize the resources. Organize the PowerPoints and make some corrections. Edit them wherever required. This is organizing, preparing before the execution. So it involves grouping of jobs, putting jobs together which are of one category into a framework, into a structure for the purpose of coordination and direction before execution. Second function of management. Now we go to the third function, staffing, the most important critical function, crucial function, which people talk about glamorously. Every organization talks about staffing, 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 but they rarely give it the type of attention it requires. What does it involve? It involves inducting and building an effective organization team. Inducting means taking into the organization and building up an effective organization team. What is effective? The people whom I'm inducting into the organization have to be effective for the purpose for which they're taken. They must produce results. Is it only results? Organization behavior is going to tell you results alone is not the thing that you need to look from people. Imagine 10 people are working together, 10 specialists, 10 experts are working together. They are producing results, and they have to produce results with their activities getting distributed. So X does one part of it, Y does the next part of it, Z does the third part of it, and so on. I'm sure all of you will agree that the 10 people have to be interacting with each other, right? So these 10 people, when they interact with each other, 10 specialists, 10 experts, there's likelihood of a type of a ego clash and conflict. So the person, the 10 of them will contribute to the organization growth, organization goal achievement, they'll be effective. But among themselves, there'll be disharmony. There could be conflicts. This is something which organizations neglect many times. It's like saying a popular expression which says, operation successful, but patient dead. It's like a successful organization in which the people are not happy with themselves. I know we come across organizations which say that we have politics in my organization, there is a lot of bitching going on, etc., 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 because somewhere somebody has not addressed this human software called behavior and the human software called harmony. I can work with you like an expert. You are an expert, I am an expert, we work together. But the most important thing where the building block starts is the harmony between you and me. Now that is where OB comes into picture. The organization behavior tells you the importance of two things. Effectiveness and harmony both coming together. Harmony is all about feeling good with each other. Harmony is all about feeling nice in each other's presence. Harmony is all about, you know, I respecting you and you respecting me. But wait a minute, we are not into charity. We are not into a social charitable organization. We are into business. So we are not coming together for the purpose of harmony. We are coming together for the purpose of effectiveness. So I need to have a judicious combination of effectiveness. We have to produce results. At the same time, we have to have bridges of trust, harmony, give and take, all these things to happen. Am I sounding too very idealistic? Certainly not. There are organizations which lay a lot of emphasis to the behavior of people. The HR department in the organization alone is not the only department that has to do this. This is to be done all encompassing. It starts from the top management, the type of way they look at people, human resources. So staffing involves inducting people, building an effective organization team. It includes procurement, getting people, recruitment selection, development of people, putting them into training and development, compensation, giving them the monetary and the non-monetary benefits for which they are working for the company, integrating them and maintaining of people for achieving goals, putting them all together into a nice fabric and see that they are able to achieve the goals that they are set out to do. This is staffing. The most crucial part of any organization is staffing. Next comes directing. As the name indicates, it's about telling people what to do. Directing is like finger pointing. Do this, do that. It involves execution of the plan. It includes motivating, commanding, leading, and activating the people. It's all about giving the push, reminding them that they're supposed to do this, and telling people this needs to be done as a part of our duty for the roles that we are playing. Because people are not self-driven all the time. They need to be directed. People are not self-driven all the time. They need to be directed. I need to be directed to do this video shoot by the institute. I am self-driven, but yet the direction is important. It comes in the form of an email, a phone call, and then I am here talking to you. So do not feel that a person has become senior or he is in a middle management level or he is a person who is intelligent enough. I don't need to direct him. Directing is important. And there are many of us who don't like to be directed. Now, directing is an important process in an organization to ensure that work is going on as per the plans. So this is an important thing. How do I do it? I motivate you. I start making you feel good about whatever you're doing. I command. Commanding is not negative. Commanding means I'm giving you that particular status that I'm here for you. Come on, I take care of it. Go ahead. Take action. I'm imbibing that into you. I'm leading you. You can look up to me as a role model. And finally, activating the people, putting them into action. Come on, get the thing moving. This is directing. Then we talk about controlling, the last function in this particular slide. It involves checking, verifying, and comparing the actual performance with the plans and correcting the deviations to ensure conformity. We've set a particular goal. We've set a particular target, a standard as you call it. So let's say I want to attain 100 units of something. So after the action is over, I check, have I made 100 units or have I made less than 100? If it's less than 100, it's negative variance, as you call it. If it's more than 100, it is positive. So it's a means by which I want to ensure that I'm in the proper track, whether I got what I wanted or whether I am on the track of getting what I wanted. Two types of controlling. Controlling post results, controlling while the results are being produced. Concurrent, as you call it. So I need to check. It's like going from place A to place B by your car. When you're going from place A to place B, you have a roadmap. Now, we all know in urban cities and even other places today in India, that when you're traveling, there's a likelihood that some road is disrupted, some road is having a digging going on, and so you need to divert your car. That's called as course correction. So even in business, even with the best of plans, we do come across situations when things might go haywire and not as per expectations. It's during that time I need to realize, oh my God, I am not here, I'm there. So getting the car back to the track is controlling, course correction, checking, verifying, comparing the actual performance. I'm supposed to be here, but I've landed up here. Actual performance is this, where I'm supposed to go is there. So this is the deviation. I need to correct it. This is controlling. So these five constitute the various management functions.